Welcome to The Grow Show, where we speak with leading business experts to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. Now, here's your host, Gary Jones.
Hey, folks, and welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. Now, I have got a corker of a guest for you today because we're going to be talking to Jez Tinkler. Yes, we have got Jez in the house. Now, I've known Jez for a couple of years now. His energy, his enthusiasm, but also his business know-how is fantastic. And I love this guy. I've got a really cool interview, really good format that I want to share with you today. And Jez, I want to welcome you to The Grow Show. So how are you doing, buddy?
Firstly, thank you for having me. I'm on top of the world at the moment, and I don't want to come across as insensitive because I know it's quite tough out there, but there is opportunities now, and it's about making the most. I'm actually very grateful in a funny sort of way for lockdown because it's changed my mindset, and I'm coming from a place where I've lost six figures in my business since the start. So I don't want to come across as insensitive, but you know, it really is looking at the opportunities and being grateful.
I love that. And we're going to be talking about gratitude. We're going to be talking about being grateful. We'll talk about your kind of business and your journey. And that's probably the best way to kind of get it started, really. And then we'll kind of go to the modern day you. So how did you kind of grow up and how did you kind of get into business? Because I actually scrap that. Who is Jez now? Who is Jez now? And then we'll go back to that.
I think people that will know me know that I'm got a lot of energy, like you said. I'm full on, and it's that fear of failure, that obsession with trying to be the best. And it's, you know, but trying to learn from people that have been there and made the mistakes to save you the time and hassle. But for me now, I've changed my mindset in a sense that I want that life and work balance. I want that time with my family and friends. Life is so precious and we get one opportunity. And my take, there's people out there that think what we're going to do is work hard as we can, become burnout, and when we get to 65, 70 at retirement age, we're going to start and do the things that we wanted to do, that we worked hard for, like travel the world. And health may dictate that. So I try and have the mindset, live a semi-retired lifestyle. So do the things along the way. Reward yourself. That's how our brain works. Don't work, work, work. And if you struggle like me to take time out, put it in the diary that you've got a booking with the sofa, for example, and it works. But, you know, I come 13 months ago, I had 9 businesses. I spent 3 years working 120 hours a week and I got it all wrong. I become obsessed. I become burnt out. I don't know. I was running all these businesses because I'm your typical male and I can't multitask. So it just do the one or two businesses and become passionate and be the best version of yourself and just make the most of and appreciate this life because it's gone so it'll go so quickly.
Love it. And there's so many points to kind of pick apart on that. And I completely agree on everything you've said. You know, when I wanted to form a daily habit and do a kind of a morning routine, which involved exercise and nature and being creative, I put it in my diary. I put it in my to-do list because I knew that that was making time for me. So I completely get it. I love it. You say that you used to run 9 businesses. How did you find the time and how did you get to the position where you're running 9 businesses?
It was always that obsession with being the best and not missing opportunities. So I'd make money from the first business, set up the second and then the third and so on. And I don't know how I did it because I bambled along, essentially. I had staff and I had very good staff, but I was very obsessed with about having the principles, never asking someone to do a job that you wouldn't do yourself. So sometimes I'd go out and I'd be bleaching the bin. And staff would look at me and think, why are you doing that? But I think it sets a precedent. And I think that's important. It's a case of remember where you came from and who helped you along the way. Don't try and be someone that you're not. But along the way of setting up these businesses, just to point out, I had in any of these businesses, I didn't have any qualifications in the sectors. I didn't really have the experience. All I had was the passion. I had the mindset. I had that positive attitude and that can do. And if someone says you can't, then you can. And I've had doubters in my life, and I've had friends and family. We've all had it where they said, oh, I don't think you should do that. You should play it safe. But they do it from a good heart. They do it because they care and they love you. And sometimes they don't always know or have the right answer for you, essentially. But that's what sort of led me on to the day, running all these different businesses. And I've become sort of burnt out.
And what kind of time frame are we looking at from starting your first business to kind of number nine and then burnout?
The first business was in 2010. I did various different things. I did a lot of different jobs, and at 28, I was told to get into sales. You'd make a lot of money, get into sales. And I got into sales. And what changed me was when I was in the interview at the age of 28, and it was selling for a company, selling car insurance, home insurance. And I was told that the first year you could only earn £19,000. And I sort of said, why? And I wasn't getting a strong enough answer. There was nothing there. So I set a challenge, which was to try and beat this, because if someone gives me a good enough reason why I can't do it, I understand. But there wasn't. It's just, so I went in, I started that job, and they had an elite team. So a small elite team that were the best in the company. One was good at overcoming objections. One was good at rapport. One was good at closing, etc. And I used to go in early, finish a little bit late, and work for my lunch. And I picked it up, and I just strove to be the best. And at the end of that first year, I actually earned £42,000. So more than double. And it was just on paper. No one had earned that sort of money. It's because, like, you know, we listen to what's in the papers or on the news and things like that. And I'm not saying it's not right, but sometimes be strong enough to make your own decisions. After that first year, I realized, and I think that was the turning point for me, because I realized that I was seeing they were training up all these members of staff for 4 months, where they're paying a member of staff through training. After 4 months, they come on the shop floor. And then after a couple of months, they were leaving because they weren't hitting their targets. So I think this company is spending and paying 6 months for a member of staff, then retrain the process. So I did my own homework. And I had a meeting a few days later with my boss's boss. And I said, I believe I can train people and stop people leaving. It saves turnover. I believe I can make you more profit. And from that conversation, I had the next day, I had the company owner and his number two come down. And it was like something out of Dragon's Den, where I got interrogated. And I said, I didn't want no help. I want to do it my way. I wasn't prepared for the outcome, which was, right, we're going to let you do this, and we're going to give you the 8 worst performing people in the company. And from that, I thought, I've taken on a bit more than what I can chew, but I've got that can-do attitude. I'll give my all. And I ended up, after the first month, I increased the sales by £64,000. And the two, the worst salesperson became the top salesperson. And I basically got, out of the 8 people, 3 of them in the top 5 people. So from that, that gave me that was the turning point in my life. And from that, you know, I set up my own business in a marketing company. And what I realized was there was a gap on the market. When you set up a new company, you essentially go to someone to design your logo. You'd go to someone to design all your flyers, your material, someone to do your social media, someone to do your SEO, AdWords, email campaigns, and so on. These companies, on average, it's between 8 and 12 companies. And these companies don't communicate with each other, and they miss the key message. So I become a one-stop shop. It saved the company time. And from that, I did very, very well. And then I progressed from that. I sort of got myself used to, and I realized I was good. People were buying, not necessarily into the business concept. They were buying into me because I'd been through their steps and at the start of their journey. And I would generally work with startup businesses. And I just took it on like it was my own business. And from that, I did that for a few years. Then I got into the repair sector. I had a roofing business. I had a football academy, the CBD business, more marketing companies, a discount product. And they're all completely different sectors. And business has the same sort of principles, and might, although they might have different businesses, they work different way, but it's generally the same rule of thumb. But that obsession really did take its toll. And that's how we sort of fell into the CBD sector, because I become stressed out, burnt out. I struggled. I lost my mum to an overdose when I was 16 that I didn't deal with, essentially, and put to the back of my head. And from that, I wanted to take something that would help me. And the average person on 5 lots of medications, a main medication that's got side effects and so on, and they've got chemicals in. So I found a natural product. It worked for me. I'm not one of these people that will turn around and say, it will change your life. It won't. What it does do is help manage those situations that you're going through, whether it's a medication or other aspects. And from that, it worked for me. And I was so passionate about it. I believe this is my duty of calling. And that's how the company was started.
Boom, 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 boom. And the one, you strike me as one of these people that once you've got an idea in your head, or once you're really passionate about something, you run with it. You run with it as far as you can go. And then beforehand, before this, before the wake-up call, maybe a little bit farther. Is that right? Do you really kind of see something and go, do you know what, crap, I can do this, I can help you, let's do it?
Yes, 100%. However, sometimes that is my downfall. I personally believe what I should have done going back, if I still lived that journey again, was to take a little bit more time, slow it down, form a better strategy and a better research. And there is people that will argue and say, when you get an idea, go with it. And then just make amendments from there. But I would have taken a bit more time, because life is so precious. It doesn't matter, you know, in a lifetime, if you're doing something, if done correctly, it's better to take a week than one day, because you'll get the benefits long term.
Love it. And during that kind of time period where you were focused on so many different businesses, and you're working, you know, shed load of hours during it, was there other people in your life and your community going, Jez, just hold down, fight, calm down, focus on this? And did you hear it? Or were they not saying that?
No, people were saying it, but sometimes you become blinded by what's around you, and you're so one-dimensional. You can see light at the end of your own tunnel, and you're going, and it's, you don't take on board what other people said. I had for a long, long time, the amount of people that said, you know, I spent 3 years working 120 hours a week. And there's only one way that's going to go if you continue, and you're going to end up on a hospital bed. But I was just scared of failure. In the amount of people that said, you're going to, you know, have a heart attack, my stress levels were through the roof. And I think the damaging thing is, you know, there's people that know me, and like you said, I've got a lot of energy, but on Monday I'm promoting one business, on Tuesday I'm promoting this business, and you can come across as a jack of all trades and an expert of none. So this is why, you know, I get the amount of people now that, oh, I've got this idea, I want to go with this, and I have to try and slow them down, but I don't want to come across as patronizing, because when you're in that mode, it's very difficult for someone to change your mindset, because you think, I've been doing this, but I've got an opportunity to make money doing this. But that's taking you away from your main goal. And it's better to be an expert and, you know, do what you know and do what you're good at. And really important to have that passion. Don't be one of the people that, you know, they wake up on a Monday and wish it was a Friday. You're wishing your life away. And it's got, you know, there's people out there with opportunities. I get that the argument would be, you're working for a company, you've been furloughed at the moment, and you're off. And yes, you're getting to spend more time. There is a lot more potential mental health issues with people than the other people like ourselves that run a business, and we have that outlet. But I would say to those people, you're never going to get the same opportunity again to be at home, to learn a new skill, or to develop and play about with it. There's stuff that you can, like, how many companies do, you know, it's quite popular with social media in our training, where people do these 5-day challenges. And you'll get a lot of people that write them off. I actually like them, and I'll tell you why, because they will give value in those 5-day challenges. And what people don't realize is the time and the effort that's put into creating these 5-day strategies and training. But from that, people will make business off the back of using those strategies and principles, and it's cost them nothing other than, you know, time. And then on the back of that, the business that has created that, they will get, you know, sell them a premium package where people, you know, make more money. And I just think we're in this culture now where people are so harsh. It's like, it's easy to criticize. If someone gives, you know, £1 million away to charity, we're on the back thinking, oh, they've just done that so they can get the self promotion. What about, that's an incredible job. They've raised all that money, not for charity, but given awareness and that. But it's our nature at the moment, because there's a lot of anger and there's a lot of hate out at the moment. It's so easy to jump on the bandwagon. And you look at America, and as much as the Americans have a unique way, where they're different to the UK is they celebrate and help each other, and they really push on that. And I know you got the old American high five, but they're always happy. And I quite like that. And I'd rather adapt that strategy than you know, be down and out, essentially.
Yeah, no, and I completely agree. You know, social media and marketing and what you see on the news, any kind of input is just a reflection of what people feel and how they kind of act in, at a particular time. Can you imagine a whole world where everyone is positive? Everyone is celebrating. Can you imagine the news and look at watching half hour of really happy, good news stories all the way through? Just by saying that, you've got a smile on your face. It would change the world. So I'm fully there. I'm fully there.
I think that would be lovely. I can't see that. We thrive.
It won't happen. It won't happen.
Yeah, not at all. We thrive off people's misfortune.
Like, but how cool would it be? I would love it if people kind of at this stage of the interview and at this stage of the kind of, if I'm watching or listening, you know, if they just take just a minute or so, just pause in a section, just think about their lives at the moment. Think about, are they actually happy? Are they actually working those hours? Have they fallen into the trap that you've done? Because if they have, this interview is proof that you can come over. You can find what you're passionate about. You can still follow your passions. You can still work as well as be happy. So please, if you're feeling like that, just take a minute and just kind of just focus on that. Jess, you found CBD. You found, for you, as you said, this was a solution for your kind of, this is how you felt, and this was a solution for it. How did you come across it? Did you always know about CBD, or was it something new that you just found and thought, do you know what, stuff it, let's give it a go?
I didn't know anything about it. And, you know, there's a big area with CBD. And I thought, you know, oh, you know, what is this? Is it going to work? And for me, it was just, I didn't want to take something with chemicals in. I'm not saying I'm right. That's just my own personal opinion. And I didn't want to go on this, you know, never ending supply of other drugs that was given to me by a doctor. So that's why I thought I wanted to try something natural from a plant. I did a lot of research, and the research, you know, I made sure I picked the product from, you know, that had the certificates to back up what they're saying. And like I said, it just worked for me. And like I said, from that, it was just, you get that moment in your life where that was my calling. That's when I realized, as much as the other businesses, I like helping people. I like lifting people, whether it's for a phone call, an email, whether it's for a Zoom call, because obviously we can't do the face-to-face at the moment. But that was my duty of calling. And sometimes I'm guilty where I try and take on other people's problems. I try and help. I want to solve the world, basically. But that was, I realized that I could turn it into a business. But what was important to me is, when you do a business, you do it from the heart. You do it, you try and run that business as good as anybody out there. And you try and, I wanted to make it a fair price, so everybody could afford it, essentially. So that's where it all came from. It was, out of all the other businesses, it took the longest amount of time. It took the longest process. However, I'm in this for the long run. There'll be changes within the industry where it's a bit like the hand sanitizer market. There's a lot of people trying to get into it to make a quick buck. And there'll be changes in April, which will get rid of a lot of companies. So I'm all for that. But I'm in this to the end game, basically. This is my calling.
This is Jez from now on.
I was going to say until I'm old and gray, but the gray bit's there.
Gray bits are always there for everybody. They just can't see it. So your business name, I Am Druth. How did that come about?
Really random, to be honest. I sat down with my small team and I said, I want everybody to come up with three words, what we stand for, what, you know, what are our principles? And lo and behold, no word of a lie, everybody had the top word is truth, because we're a truth, honest product. And then it was just a play on words, really. And from that, that's how the company was born. And since then, we had a logo and it wasn't right, to be honest. And don't be afraid at the start if you've gone with a logo and you need to adapt. And that's what we've done. We've adapted. We then wanted to change the colors on the brand to help the labels distinguish the different percentages. And we spent money on that and we realized how good our brand was. So we wasted money, but we didn't. It made us realize certain aspects. And because it's got like the colors are earthy and natural, it fits in with what we're trying to achieve. And from the back of that, really understand your market and business is really important. We had a lot of, we become a sports specialist for a while. So then we adapted that and we've had more adaption. So don't be set in your ways and think that this is the way. Business evolves, things change, go with the flow. And it's like, all I'd say to people, I hear so many people out there that they might be 40, 50, 60 or 70 and they're scared. They've got a great concept, a great business, and they're too scared. They think their time has passed. Well, you haven't. What you've got on your side is that life experience. You would have gone through so much more than someone that's 20. So if you don't do that, you're going to end up regretting it. So go. What have you got to lose?
Exactly. Exactly. Especially at this time, you might as well take the opportunity and then start planning it. And when you'd say about your brand and your logo, you hear that story from loads of different people, loads of different business owners say about their branding being the most important, single most important investment that they've made, because that's really true to them. And once you get that right, it's so powerful because it just all falls into place. And that's the logo, that's the name, that's what you stand for. And if you marry all those three together, oh, you're onto a winner. You are onto a winner, because that brand then becomes you and you become the brand. You can fully believe in it.
And I think with the brand, there's a lot of debate. Sometimes someone will have a brand and people get on the bandwagon and sort of say, well, that doesn't mean nothing. Why you've gone with that brand? But what I'd say to that is look at all the famous brands in the world. Apple, they're not selling fruit. Costa, you wouldn't, on Starbucks, you wouldn't know they're selling coffees. McDonald's, all the top brands, they've just spent a lot of money on branding. And with the marketing, and like Coca-Cola as well, what they do is they get to the top of their tree and then they don't think we're at the top of our business, we're going to stop all marketing. They continue because they want to stay there and they become very trusted brands. But what they've done is they created that brand. So don't get hung up if you've got an idea and the name doesn't connect with what you're doing. If it has purpose and it comes from the heart and has meaning, what you stand for, go with it.
Love it. Love it. Now, I'm going to throw a couple of questions at you now, because we're coming to the end of the interview. But before we go on to the end part, I want to ask you for your kind of advice for three different people. And I'm throwing this on you now because I'd love to hear what you kind of want to, what you'd think about straight away. So what would your advice be for the 18-year-old who's listening to this kind of podcast or watching this video?
So for an 18-year-old, I would stick to one thing that age. So don't focus on the one business. Don't worry about the umbrella with other channels. Focus on one thing. So if you want to become an expert at Facebook, for example, or an expert of LinkedIn, study, look up who's, you know, who all the Facebook or LinkedIn trainers, read all the books out there, go to every single seminar, read some business books, study and live by that. And even if you have to get a job and you spend a year researching it with all the skills, that time is the most important thing. And then on the side, what people misunderstand, I think, is doing something for free at the start to give that value, because you can get testimonials from that that will, you know, go on to other things. But also be fearless, and people are scared of failure and mistakes, but you wouldn't have known it was failure or mistake until you've made it, you know. And the amount of successful people out there You ask how many times they've, you know, whether they've been bankrupt or how many mistakes they've made. You've got to make the mistakes or have the failures to be successful, in my opinion.
Love it. Love it. Quickly, advice for your 30-year-old who's listening.
I always believed you're 18, your late teens in your 20s, all about making mistakes and finding your feet. The 30s where it gets real. So I would say if you're in your 30s and you've been in business or you're getting into business, just do it from the heart. But don't be afraid to make those mistakes once again. And I think you put more pressure on yourself at the age of, you know, in your 30s. Don't put so much pressure. You know, don't enjoy the journey. You don't have to. I'd rather work till I'm 80 and work less hours and have a better life balance, because I can't, you know, retire at 65, 67 and have nothing to do. I'll lose my purpose. So I would say, and look at your goals and where you want to go and what strategy. You know, one thing that I've done, because we lose ourselves, I set myself 101 goals and activities that I want to do before I die. And reading is the key for me. So one thing that I've done, which I've read over 1,000 books in my life, business and self-development, and a lot overlap. So what I did was I wrote down, this was at the end of last year, the 7 most powerful books I've read. And I vowed to read those books, those 7 books every year. Because if you're doing karate, for example, to become a black belt, you've got to do that move 1,000 times. So why do we read a book once and put it down and we don't act? It's a waste of time. Read those books.
Yeah, good point. Love it. Love it. Love it. We'll do another podcast at another time. I know we will, because we can carry on talking forever. This is fantastic. And thank you very, very much for your time today. We've got 2 last bits that I want to kind of say. We've already given loads of nuggets, loads of advice that people can start using and all the way throughout this interview. But if you were going to share just one thing, what would be your one big takeaway that you want the viewers, you want the listeners to start doing today?
I think for the one big thing for me, and you would have probably got a lot of different answers, would be helpful, be humble, be respectful, remember where you came from and who helped you along the way. And there's people that, mentors and people that have given me advice, I remember every single one of them and I touch base with them. And also in addition to that, be personable to people. So I meet up with suppliers and I give them advice and tips on how to build that relationship, because I'm different and some of them I have to travel 3-4 hours, you know, there and back. So it could take me 8 hours and I do that twice a year, but it makes me stand out. And then if you've got a problem, it gets resolved.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Love it, love it, love it. So if people want to find more info about you, so Jez the person, I am Truth the business, how can they? Are you on social? What's your website? This is your chance to shout out about them.
Yes, so the website is iamtruth.co.uk. If you type in I am Truth CBD, you'll find that on Facebook and Instagram, and just Jez Tinkler, and put that into LinkedIn, you'll find me. And just quickly, I just wanted to add 2 extra little bits that are great tips and they work for me. That I think will be massive. If you need to book a meeting via Zoom or in person when we get back to normality, book that meeting at either 1:45 or 1:15. For some reason, psychologically, you'll end up getting through the door. People will perceive it's a shorter meeting and you'll get more of their time. And I get I log into my email and I get sometimes over 100 emails a day. So I look for the ones that are relevant. So if you spoke to someone, don't give someone an opportunity to miss your email. In the subject bar, put as requested dot, dot, dot. That will stand out. They'll see it and you'll get a response and it's going to be fresh in their head.
2 really simple tips that we can start using straight away. Jez, you are a legend. Thank you so much for your time. When I said about getting you on the show again, I meant it, buddy. So let's do it. Let's put dates in a diary after this convo. But for everyone listening and watching, thank you so much for tuning in for the Grow Show today. Please connect with Jez. Please, please, please learn from what he's been through and figure out a path for you which makes you happy, that makes you less stress-free and looks after your health and your well-being, as well as your business and your mindset and everything else on top of that. Jez, you've been a legend. Thank you very much, buddy. And we'll see you all later. Take care.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. With new shows available every week, if you know anyone else who could benefit from these powerful insights, please share this podcast with them. And don't forget to subscribe.